You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people, the places, and the boulevards of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
Tomorrow marks exactly 1 year since California shut down its economy because of COVID-19.
That's KCRW reporter Benjamin Gottlieb, who covers the business of Southern California.
When that happened, the pandemic really reformed the streetscape all across Southern California. I mean, everyone sees it where they live, too. That includes myself, especially right on Van Nuys Boulevard.
Imagine they shut you down. What do you do? There's no business, correct? That's what happened. I seen a lot of the restaurants close down. I feel bad for them, honestly, because we all work hard. And I feel very sad. Very, very sad.
Today, a trip to the heart of the San Fernando Valley, a central stretch of Van Nuys Boulevard, to see what the pandemic took away and who's been left behind.
So to get an idea of what's happened on Van Nuys Boulevard, I've been there for the past several months, really. And I actually grew up in this part of the San Fernando Valley. Now, Van Nuys is a street that's kind of been on decline for a long time. And there's this economic gradient that you can see when you move from the southern part of the valley north. You've got these million-dollar homes that are up against the mountains, and then in just a matter of blocks, you can head to real poverty. You've got unhoused people that are lining the sidewalks right now in Van Nuys, on Van Nuys Boulevard. And so I decided to focus on a two-mile stretch of the boulevard, starting with Oxnard Street and then heading up to Sherman Way. Now, this part of Van Nuys has these really wide streets. There's lots of car dealerships, mostly small businesses in the area that's north of Oxnard Street, some chain stores, and also the Civic Center area, which has the federal and the state courthouses, and lots of the businesses that support the courthouse, so the bail bonds and all these indie restaurants.
So, Benjamin, you refer to this as a place in decline for a while. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think the best place to start is to start with history, right? I mean, this was the hub of the valley back in the 1960s and 70s. Someone who knows that all too well is Rick Stanoff, who runs the Country General Store. This is just across the street from the Civic Center, and it's a store that sells high-end Western apparel, and it's all custom.
We've seen lots of different transactions go through the San Fernando Valley, Van Nuys, particularly because this is my home. You know, back in the 70s, we had people that used to cruise the boulevard.
And Steve, we're talking hot rods, loud music. I mean, this really was a destination. And I'm not just talking for the San Fernando Valley, but really for all of Southern California. People would flock to Van Nuys Boulevard. Well, things have changed a lot since then, and Stanoff says he's really seen that firsthand.
Van Nuys Boulevard was this first shopping mecca of the San Fernando Valley, but the brick and mortar, the merchant today, he's not existing. You used to see more traffic on the boulevard. We're destination stores. I think the people are driving their car, parking, and leaving. Okay, they're not hanging in here.
At least not like they used to, Steve. And as I mentioned, I'm from the Valley. I'm a Valley kid. And I moved back to the neighborhood recently, actually right before the pandemic began. I kind of got a chance to see this transformation from really a street that was on its way down on a decline to what COVID-19 did, accelerating, exacerbating some of these lingering problems.
All right. So what was it like, Benjamin, when you moved back right before the pandemic?
Well, right before I moved back, it was kind of the Van Nuys that I recognized, right? I mean, you had the car dealerships packed with people trying out their new Acura or their Subaru, whatever. You had people walking the sidewalks up and down Van Nuys Boulevard, especially at Victory. There's a big collection of local shops right there on Victory and Van Nuys. It was also busy by the Civic Center, Steve. I mean, this is a big courthouse area. There's lots of people who work there. But now when I walk the streets, it's absolutely empty. You've got a lot of unhoused people, too, who are just sleeping outside of some of these vacant storefronts that are now there. Up the road from the Civic Center, near the Amtrak stop on Van Nuys Boulevard, is a Cuban restaurant that I know. It's called Ay Papa Que Rico. And Cristobal Rodriguez owns and runs the place. He's a gentleman who immigrated from Cuba at the age of 9, and it's been a very successful restaurant. But during the pandemic, like many other restaurant owners, they've just struggled to keep payroll met, to keep their rent paid. And it hasn't just been the pandemic, right? But also it was the looting that took place last summer that's really affected Cristobal and how he runs his business.
Most of the people boarded up their businesses. I had to defend my business, right? I went outside with a shotgun. You want to come in? It's fine. We'll deal with it. But it's being mostly our representatives and our government that don't protect us at all. They don't. Period. That's how I see it.
Rodriguez and I spoke a lot about his frustration with state and local government and how he sees they haven't really taken care of local businesses here in Los Angeles. He also says that the pandemic has accelerated, in his mind, a trend in this part of town. In his mind, he doesn't really see this part of Van Nuys as really safe anymore. He's worried about a rise in crime and really what he views as a lack of attention in this part of L.A.
This is not what it used to be. Friendly people. We used to walk in the street. Girls would go on back and forth. They didn't have to worry about somebody coming and kidnapping them or hurting them. It was nice. All the kids were out there. We were not under any kind of supervision. And we did fine. Go do it now. You won't survive from Roscoe to Ventura Boulevard, I guarantee you that. Do it at nighttime. That's when it used to be done at nighttime. It's beautiful, nice, but that's the way it is, my friend.
And Steve Rodriguez, he really knows this part of town well. I mean, when he moved to the U.S., he kind of grew up in this neighborhood in the Van Nuys area. He's since left. He's moved to Oxnard, so he just has his business out here. And by the way, he's not the only business owner who I've spoken to who feels this way. Some are actually physically turning away from Van Nuys, away from the streets. And that includes Scott Mendelson. Now, Mendelson has owned and operated a gym called Mendy's Gym on Van Nuys for about 4 years.
When we open back up, I'm wrapping the whole front solid. It's going to be a view of the LA City buildings on the inside. It'll be gray on the outside. I'm done. We're going full private. And that's it. I'm not dealing with anybody.
You can hear the frustration in his voice. I mean, getting into his gym right now is literally like walking into a secure facility. You have to enter from the alleyway. There are two security doors that you have to go through. Mendelson himself, he is an absolutely towering figure. He's got muscles that bulge out from every part of his body. And when I went to visit him on the wall of his gym, he's got the number 1035 written up there in chalk. That's how much he's bench pressed recently, to give you a sense of this gentleman. Like most gym owners, the pandemic really crushed Mendelson and his business. He was closed for months at a time, but he found a way. I mean, he grew up in a low-income neighborhood in Brooklyn and says that really prepared him for struggling through something like this.
You know what? I'm a hustler, and I'm not a sinker. I'm a floater. So I don't give a what I got to do. I will survive. You know, I grew up with nothing in this world, and I've clawed and just fought for everything I've had. So I'm not, you know, like I have a lot of people that were brought up wealthy, and, you know, when this happened, they just folded. You know, me, I grew up with nothing. So when it hit, it was just like, all right, well, I just got to keep going and start over where I was.
And in some ways, Steve, that attitude really embodies what it means to be a small business owner in Los Angeles. You've got to be scrappy, no matter what industry, no matter what background you come from. Mendelson himself, he got creative. He had his bills to pay, right? He had his rent, and he had nothing to pay it with.
You have to go out and you have to work and you have to do things. I sold toilet paper, you know, and we were selling industrial boxes. So I had a hookup on that and we were able to pay our bills. You know, it's just, you got to do what you got to do to survive. You cannot sit and wait for these guys. A stimulus check? What's that going to do? Buy you lunch? I mean, it's like, that's bullshit.
Now, say what you want about the stimulus check. Say what you want about whether it's enough money or not, how it's going to help people in LA versus states with lower costs of living. All of that aside, not everyone who lives and works in Van Nuys qualifies for a stimulus check. I mean, this part of town is majority Latino. Many lack legal status, and so they simply don't qualify. So survival in this part of LA, it looks different to different people. If you drive the boulevard, you see boarded up stores and commercial space with these for lease signs. It seems like almost every block. And in its place, what's starting to appear more and more are these shopping bazaars. These are covered maze-like indoor spaces with individual merchants. And they're kind of like permanent swap meets, home to mostly Latino immigrant vendors like Blanca Caballeros.
Aquí tengo una venta de medicina natural y tengo que salir.
I have a little stall where I sell homeopathic medicine, she says. The shop itself is in the back of the bazaar, so Caballeros has to stand out on Van Nuys Boulevard every day that she's working, and she's handing out these green business cards. If she doesn't, she says, no one knows that she's inside of the bazaar. Now, Caballeros says the slot costs about $300 a month to rent. It's an expense that she says she really didn't have a problem paying before the pandemic. But of course, that has changed in the past year.
Fíjese que yo he tenido que buscar ayuda donde dan hay varias partes de las iglesias que están dando comida. He ido a buscar.
I have to look for help in a lot of places, she says, and she's relying on churches right now for food. She also tells me that her kids are helping her pay the rent, and that her husband has gone to work as a gardener.
En lo que puede, entonces vamos pasando así que los días.
But they're here, she says, working. And she has confidence in God that better days are ahead of her.
Well, Benjamin, the economy here in L.A. is opening up. Better days, we hope, anyway. Will Van Nuys recover, do you think, once the pandemic is over? Does it have it in it?
I think on the surface level, just from what I've been seeing, absolutely. I mean, you take the example of the Civic Center and the courthouses. During the lunchtime rush hour, I mean, you had restaurants and stores packed. People would spill out from the buildings, the lawyers, all the support staff. They'd go to eat, they'd go to shop, right? So when those folks go back to work at the Civic Center, yeah, you're going to see a boost to the local economy. Now, the long view, I guess it's really just not clear yet. I mean, I asked Scott Mendelson, the gym owner who we heard from earlier, about the future of Van Nuys Boulevard, and here's what he had to say.
I haven't given up on it. But I'm definitely separating it from my facility, you know. And if something changed, because they're supposed to build a trolley up the middle and really redo Van Nuys Boulevard. If they do that, we'll talk about taking it down at that point.
There's also this longing for a lifetime before COVID, including from folks like Stacy Monshine. Now, Stacy runs the Country General store with Rick Stanoff, her brother, who we heard from earlier.
This was the hub of the valley, you know, from back in the day, and things have changed, but we want to see good change.
Are you hopeful?
Yes, definitely. We have to be hopeful.
A lot of change coming as we get more vaccines, people get the vaccines, and the COVID numbers keep coming down. Here's hoping that Van Nuys Boulevard comes back to life with the rest of the city, right, Benjamin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Special thanks to KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb for filing that report.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Once upon a time, deep in the land of frozen food, lived two best friends named Waffles and Mochi, with one shared dream, to become chefs. The only problem? Everything they cooked was made of ice. Well, so begins the tale of a couple puppet characters in a new Netflix show for kids called Waffles and Mochi. Spoiler alert, they leave the land of frozen food and find a supermarket where they learn about things like tomatoes and potatoes and rice.
We're around the world now.
Rice!
Everybody loves what we do.
Rice.
We're making people happy.
Rice.
Probably even you.
The show is a product of former President Barack and Michelle Obama's Higher Ground Productions, which has a multi-year deal with Netflix. In fact, the big boss at the supermarket turns out to be...
Well, hello, Waffles and Mochi. I am Mrs. Obama. What can I do for you?
Now, unfortunately, it turns out that the former First Lady is busy at the supermarket today. But the next best thing for us, joining us now, our own KCRW DJ and the show's music supervisor, Dan Wilcox. Hey, Dan.
I love that I'm the next best thing to the former
First
Lady. You're
always tops in our book, but if we can get Michelle Obama, we're going to bump you. I'm just going to tell you that now. Yeah.
Understood.
You have worked a lot of film and TV as a music supervisor.
Right.
But have you ever worked with kids before? I know you have a couple of kids, right?
Yeah, I do. And I have not worked on a kids show before, but it's always been one of those things that's been on my bucket list. And that kind of stems from my own experience having kids, because the thing that they don't explain to you when, you know, before you have kids, or I should say, there's a lot of things they don't explain to you before you have kids, which is probably the only reason why you have kids. But one of the things they don't explain is how much time you spend watching those shows with them. And some of the shows are just kind of unbearable, you know. But once I came in and met with the creators of the shows that were working along with the Obamas and the Higher Ground Company, you know, they had a real strong kind of touchstone in Sesame Street, specifically Sesame Street from the 70s. Like Steve, I don't know, you'll know this one, like the Pinball Count song.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know that one. Like, that is one of the funkiest tracks, like, ever laid down. You get the, you know, the Pointer Sisters doing the vocals. Like, it was sophisticated and complex. And so that's sort of the approach that we took. I mean, there's a lot of music in the show, lots of different kinds of music. And, you know, the theme song is written by Chris Baer of Grizzly Bear, which will be familiar to a lot of KCRW listeners. And it's sung by Maya Rudolph. And the composed music, we had a great composer, Dan Gross, and he kind of gave it a little bit of a Pixar, you know, maybe kind of Spielberg movies of the 80s, like a real sense of wonder and adventure. And then we had a number of original songs that were really fantastic, written by Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci, who are kind of a comedic duo. And we found all kinds of fantastic vocalists to sing them. We had Sia doing a song, Jack Black did one, and the one that you heard a little earlier, that was Reggie Watts doing the Rice on Fire song. But then when it came to the licensed songs, sort of the existing songs for the show, you know, we knew that because of all of the stories contained within the show, these two characters, Waffles and Mochi, traveling all around the globe, learning all about various foods and dealing with, you know, some of the world-class chefs like Jose Andres.
We're going to make a recipe that I learned from my wife.
Mama.
And it's called gazpacho. And gazpacho is from the south of Spain. It's always...
So we kind of came up with this idea of using vintage music from all of these various places to kind of give the music a bit of a distinctive flavor, if you will. So, yeah, in one of the episodes, the potato episode, they travel to the Andes Mountains of Peru to learn about all the different types of potatoes grown there. And so we wanted to find an unusual and, you know, interesting song for that moment. And we found this, you know, incredibly rare 70s psychedelic cumbia that just is really bonkers. And it fits the scene perfectly from this artist, Los Orientales de Paramonga. And the song is called Lobos al Escape. Every episode in the series takes one particular food item You know, one episode, it's a tomato. Another episode, it's a potato. Another episode, they learn about pickles. But what they do is they show how all of these different food items are prepared and the foods that are created using those items in all kinds of different cultures throughout the world. So, you know, for tomatoes, they travel to Italy to learn about tomatoes and potatoes. They go to the Andes Mountains in Peru. Kimchi, they travel to South Korea to learn about how kimchi is pickled. So, it gets kids looking at foods in a different way. It tries to get them really curious and excited about food and getting them into the kitchen. And so you're kind of connecting cultures through this universal language of food. And they have all sorts of crazy guest stars to help them do all of this. Zach Galifianakis shows up in an episode. You know, Rashida Jones is a character in the show. Queer Eye's Tan France shows up. And then, of course, there's, you know, former First Lady, Mrs. Obama, is a recurring character in every episode.
Waffles and Mochi obviously want to be chefs. They learn about the tomatoes and the potatoes. They travel all over the place. There's an episode about herbs and spices.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So they have in the herbs and spices episode, they travel to the Droghiera Macari spice market in Venice, Italy. Very, very, famous, kind of spice market. And so we wanted to have kind of an introductory song for them traveling to Italy. And so we found this very kind of over-the-top, lush 60s Italian pop song from an artist who apparently was pretty big in Italy back in the 60s called Cacchi Mazzetti. And the song is called Giovan Giovan.
È tanto breve la primavera, nessuno la ferma con sé. Ma tu la porti nel tuo sorriso, sorriso che dedichi a me. Giovane, 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 hai tutta una vita da vivere ancora. Ridono, 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 ti ridono gli occhi pensando all'amore. E svegliati, 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 milioni di baci aspettano te. E spendili, 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 tutti, tutti con me.
This is all really cool, Dan. I mean, the music on this show is incredibly rich. In history, obviously, in geography. How did you go about finding this stuff? I mean, you can't just, do you just like Google Italy and cool song about herbs and spices? Oh, I mean, what do you do with that?
Jeez, I wish I was that easy. It would have saved me a lot of time. No, I mean, I've been a music supervisor for about 16, 17 years now. And, you know, just over the time, you kind of develop a good roster of different resources and different places that you know that you can go to find music. And particularly for this, we wanted to find, you know, authentic vintage music from all over the world. I had a little bit of help going into it with working on a show called Street Food, another Netflix show. And so that helped kind of expand my world music, particularly vintage world music, horizons. And so, you know, wherever it was that they were going, I just wanted to try to find like the most interesting and distinctive approach that fit the kind of, you know, fit the whole way of doing things on this show.
We want to leave you with a bang, and maybe you have an idea for a song to help us get out of this.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think I will leave you with one of my favorite licensed pieces of music for the show. There is the show that kind of is all focused around corn. And on that episode, the characters make a stop in Savannah, Georgia, visit a very famous restaurant called The Gray and their absolutely world-class chef, Mashima Bailey. And so we definitely wanted to inject some authentic Southern soul into this moment in the show. And so we went to a track that's just kind of an underground classic, but a classic nonetheless, from a band called The Minutes. And this one's called Still a Part of Me.
KCRW DJ Dan Wilcox. He's also music supervisor on Waffles and Mochi, which drops today, right? It premieres today on Netflix.
Yep, drops today. Go check it out.
Oh, now I'm hungry. What great music, though. That's it for today. My goodness, where'd the time go? Tomorrow, as reopenings happen, there will be art. Where will you be able to see that art in person? That's tomorrow. Check us out online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. You can, of course, hear the shows and subscribe to the podcast. Share your thoughts with us, too, at our website. And let's talk about your post-pandemic life as well. If you've gotten fully vaccinated, how has your world changed? Are you doing anything differently? Let us know. kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, Catherine Barnes, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, PJ Shahamat, Mario Saavedra, Amy Ta, Phil Richards, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl. All had hands on our show this evening. I'm Steve Chitakis. Thanks for your ears and your time and attention. Have a great night.